great job leading us in singing and worship to God tonight. Thank you very much for your effort. Just so you'll know, I'm a singer that fell into preaching. I do the best I can. But I'll tell you, as much as I love to sing, I love to preach. I love to preach the good tidings and the great joy that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you would allow me, when the service is over, at the very conclusion, I would like to say a few words to the congregation at that time. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Praying for change. The book of Ephesians will teach you that there is a spiritual battle that causes, one, to recognize that they are in a fight. If you're going to follow Christ, you're going to be in a battle. It is a fierce battle, and Paul has reminded us that God has not left us to fight this battle alone. He has given us armor to fight the battle. And these are resources from God that are meant to be used. John MacArthur has written these words that I think are interesting and important. It is especially easy for Christians who live in a free and prosperous society to feel secure just as they are, presuming on instead of depending on God's grace. It is easy to become so satisfied with physical blessings that we have little desire for spiritual blessings, and to become so dependent on our physical resources that we feel little need for spiritual resources. When programs and methods and money produce such obvious and impressive results, there is a proneness to confuse human success with divine blessing. This evening, Paul will remind us of the most powerful weapon that we have at our disposal. That is the weapon of prayer. It is through prayer that we tap into the strength that God is eager, so eager to provide us. Paul writes these words: pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Did you hear it? Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Brethren, prayer is the glue that holds all of the pieces of this armor that God has given us together. You see, it's not just a matter of us putting on the armor and going out to fight. We must put on the armor and be ready to fight as the Lord has directed us and given us strength. And we tap into this direction in strength. How? How do we tap into this direction and strength? It is through prayer. Martin Lloyd Jones wrote, "Our ultimate position as Christians is tested by the character of our prayer life." Now, I've got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When I read that quote, it made me quite uncomfortable. If you struggle to make time for prayer, to have a real conversation with God, as opposed to giving Him merely a wish list, if you struggle waiting on the Lord, then I've got to tell you, you've got to be challenged by these words. So this evening, I hope we can look at this as brothers and sisters in Christ who want to learn how to pray effectively. And then when we learn how to pray effectively, pray. Scripture tells us, as we have read, we are to pray in the Spirit, the Word. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. To pray in the Spirit means to pray consistent with the Spirit's guidance and the Spirit's will. Now, this is the key, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to think along with me. It means to line up our minds with His mind. If we pray according to the Spirit, we are letting the Holy Spirit direct our prayers. That doesn't mean that we're going to be lazy in prayer. It means we are going to be attentive in prayer. Think about the conversations with me that you have with other people. You may go into the conversation with things you want to share. But if you really are having a conversation, what is it that you're going to do? You have to listen and you have to interact with that other person that you are conversing with. This means the conversation often will go in a different direction than what it was that you anticipated when you started the conversation. Bible class teachers find that they are much more effective if they pay attention to where their students are mentally and then adjust their instruction to them. Effective communicators, those who know how to communicate with people, are always making adjustments based on the response that they get from the other person. This is what we are called to do, as I see it. We must come into prayer taking time to listen to the Holy Spirit. And a good way to do this is to begin your prayer time by reading the Word of God, because this is the access to the Holy Spirit. You want to have the Holy Spirit direct your prayers, you're going to be reading what the Holy Spirit has instructed us to do and how He's instructed us to pray. If we start by praying about what we read, we will quickly be able to get in tune with God's Spirit. Likewise, if we come into prayer seeking to impose our own will on the Lord, I'm going to tell you, whether or not you want to admit it or not, that's what we do oftentimes. We come into prayer trying to impose our will on the Lord. And if you do that, I'm going to tell you, you're just going to get frustrated. My mother is a writer. She's a poet. And I told you this morning that she may be one of the most well-read people that I know. I grew up watching her read commentary after commentary after commentary and do deep research. She has a master's degree in English and in history. Of course, she doesn't want anyone to know that. She doesn't want anyone to know she writes. She's written so many things, but she doesn't want anyone to read it. She writes to me often. I was talking to her about this. I talked to her about my sermons. I think she's wise. May I quote to you something that my mother wrote to me recently? Something I needed. Sometimes I frame these things. I want you to listen to what she wrote to her son. She said, "Stephen, in His hands is where the power is. Even if you could do something, the result would be questionable. We can't see where He is looking. His decisions for us are the best for us. Contentment and joy come when we accept His decisions. There is no happiness in trying to manipulate His plan. Why profess His wisdom and go through life kicking and screaming?" Your mom. The challenge in prayer is to tune our hearts to His, not the other way around. Now, with that said, we are to pray at all times. We are told to pray continually. Now, Paul is not saying that we need to always be praying, in which case we would never get anything done. it wouldn't accomplish anything. He is telling us that we should be in an attitude of prayer, in a readiness to pray at all times. We should be like two people who are traveling. It kind of reminds me of Muffy and myself. I want to talk all the time. Muffy doesn't want to talk all the time. You don't necessarily have to talk all the time when you're together, even though I want to talk all the time. She just wants to talk periodically or when she has something to say. There will be a comment here and an observation there and a question, and at times we will visit about stuff. And at other times there will be silence, and that drives me crazy. Okay, but that's the way it is. We should set aside blocks of time for quiet and for prayer. But that should not be the end of our prayer time. We need to learn to talk with God throughout the day. We need to keep a conversation going with Him. We need to pray for people as we see them. Don't you see people through the day that you need to pray for? Don't you? Why can't you just go to God right then and say, Jehovah, through thy Son, Jesus Christ, help this person. Help me to show the love towards them that I need to show towards them. We pray for people. We need to pray for them as we see them. We discuss our feelings and attitudes as we become aware of them. When something hits you and an attitude overcomes you, you need to go to God in prayer, and we should express gratitude throughout the entire day. You can do that. You don't have to close your eyes, brethren. You don't have to hit a knee. Just talk to the Father. What we want to avoid is behaving as if we should close the door to our place of prayer when we leave and not talk with the Lord again until we return the next day, or until it's breakfast in the morning, or until it's time to have another meal. On the contrary, we're to be like people who sit down and have a great conversation and continue that conversation throughout the day as things come up. You can do that. And that's what Paul is talking about here. This is what is so important. We need to pray all the time. We need to be in that frame of mind, ladies and gentlemen. We should pray in all circumstances. We're to pray in every circumstance. One of the mistakes we make in prayer is that we pray only really when we feel like praying. Okay? Satan is going to work real hard to make sure of what? That you seldom feel like praying. That's what he's going to work at. It's better to come to God in prayer at our regular time and confess that we feel distant or indifferent in our praying. And we need God's help. I struggle. We can and should be honest about our frustrations and about our anger and about our hurt. You're going to be frustrated. There's going to be times when you're angry. You need to be able to go to God during those times. Good prayer begins with honesty. I believe that with all my heart. And in fact, at times of struggle, those are the times that we often gain the greatest benefit in prayer. When you read through Psalms, what do you find? There are many times when the psalmist starts with a question and he shares his frustration, even shares his anger. You know that to be true. In Psalms chapter 2, for example, David says, "Why are the nations so angry, Lord? Well, why? I don't understand. Why do they waste their time with futile plans? Why is that, Lord? I don't understand. Help me to understand." And as David is being pursued by King Saul, what was it that Saul wanted to do? Saul wanted to kill David because he saw David as a threat to his throne. Okay? And he wrote many psalms expressing the frustration that he had with Saul. And in most of these psalms, the author begins where he is emotionally and mentally challenged. And then he works through those issues in prayer until he is again aligned, lined up with the heart of God. That is a good practice for us. That is a good practice for me. When we are tempted, we should pray about the temptation that we are facing, ladies and gentlemen, Every last one of us are faced with temptation. We ought to face up to those temptations with prayer to God. And when we encounter needy people, we need to pray for those needy people right then. And I'm telling you, if you see the needy person and there's a way that you can help them, start out that process by putting your arm around them and going to God in prayer. You have access to the Father. Don't you understand that? Each and every one of you who have been bought by the blood of Christ are children of the King. When we need wisdom, we should send up a petition to God for that wisdom. When we see anger and bitterness and resentment that is building within us, we should talk to God about those things and ask Him to help us. The door to prayer should remain open all day long. Every day, our prayer should also be of different types. Sometimes our prayer will involve confession of sin. Sometimes our prayer will involve bad attitudes. Other times we will express worship and wonder and gratitude for God's greatness. And at other times we pray for guidance and we pray for wisdom. And still other times we should intercede for others. In other words, we should pray on their behalf. And in our quiet times of personal prayer, it is a good idea to include time for each one of these things. Take time to worship and appreciate God on your own. Find a quiet place and meditate upon what you need to be doing to improve your life, your work. We should make time for confession. This is when we ask God to forgive us of the things we know we have done wrong. When we disobeyed His clear instruction in the Bible. You know when you've done that. When we knew what we should do and we didn't do it. When we hurt someone. When we had a bad attitude. When we are guilty of our own acts of idolatry. What do you mean by that, Steve? Well, that's looking to other things to satisfy us instead of looking to the Lord. I have found that it is valuable and I think threatening to ask God to show me things that are wrong with my life. I don't think I want to see what's wrong with my life. Let me ask you a question. Over at the Bel Air congregation, we have two screens, one right here, and we've got a screen right here. And what I do is I say, this screen right here is a big mirror, all right? Now, what I want you to do is I want you to look into your soul. Do you know who can look into your soul, ladies and gentlemen? The only one that can look into your soul is you and God Almighty, all right? So what I want you to do is I want you to look into that mirror. Here it is right here, the mirror of your soul. How many bones do you have in your closet? You look in there and you find out whether or not you're pure. Have you disobeyed His clear instruction? Have you known that you've done things that are wrong and you did them anyway? Did you hurt someone with malice in your heart? Have you had a bad attitude, young people? Have you had a terrible attitude about your parents? If you're a teenager, most teenagers think their parents are ignorant as they come. All right? You need to look into your heart. You need to think about that. I don't like facing things that come to my mind. I don't like looking in that mirror. I hope you're looking in it now. And if things aren't right, I hope you get them right. It's so important to clean ourselves up. The Word of God may convict you. Maybe convict some of you older folks about your time management or your lack thereof. The way you spend your money. Let me tell you something. We are rich. You haven't been around the world, have you? Those of you that's been around the world, you will know right quick just how rich we are. You talk about poor. Let me tell you what. All you got to do is cross the border down there in Texas into Mexico, and you will find out right quick what being poor as Job's turkey is. Those folks are poor, dirt poor. It's like going from day to nighttime. I went and did some work over there preaching with some of those folks down there, and I couldn't believe it. They live in squalor. God has blessed us with so much. How are you using those blessings? How are you stewarding what God Almighty has given you? Who are you helping? What do you think Christianity is all about, ladies and gentlemen? It's about service. Do you know that Jesus Christ, our Savior, got on his knees and he washed the feet of his disciples? We're servants. The way your actions show a lack of regard for people that are around you. We have become numb in our society. We have become arrogant. We have become prideful. And some of us are just so full of anxiety. We just lack trust. If we ask God to show us what is wrong, we need to be willing to be still and to allow him to bring to mind those problem areas in our life and ask him to help us. Listen to me. We should pray in all circumstances. Persistence in prayer is just wise. Jesus speaks a great deal about being persistent and about being steadfast in prayer. And this is something difficult for us because we're used to being able to get things how? Real quick, just like that. Real quick. We get information immediately from Google, do we not? I mean, just like that. And we can order things online. We don't even have to leave home. They'll deliver it right to you. And we cook our food in a microwave. Right? We didn't have a microwave when I was a kid. Of course, what we ate a bunch of back in those days was rice and beans. But I got to tell you something. Right now, man, you get your food just like that. You go to a fast food restaurant, you get it just like that. And if you don't get it just like that, what do you get bowed up about it, don't you? My goodness, I never have had to wait this long for a hamburger. Isn't that right? Everything, we get it right now. We have our food delivered to our door. We watch movies. How? On demand. Right? Isn't that right? We carry cell phones. And you're communicating with somebody all the time with that thing, aren't you? Writing those text messages, Facebook. Everything is right now. And consequently, when we come to pray, we feel we should be able to give our order and receive our answer. Just like that. Right? Prayer doesn't work that way. It's not that God can't give us what we ask for immediately. He certainly can. But he doesn't. It's not that God is reluctant and that he will only respond if we bug him to death. And we do try to do that from time to time. I don't know for sure why there are delays in answer to prayer. And I suspect I won't know till I get to heaven. But I want to give you some possible reasons. Important concepts are learned by waiting, believe it or not. We develop a greater hunger for lost people as we pray for them year after year after year. We learn compassion as we wait for someone to be healed. We learn to appreciate blessings if we have to wait for them. And sometimes God delays help so that we can become... Let me say it this way. Sometimes God's delays help us become more self-sufficient. God is at work even in the delays. Don't you doubt that. Important concepts are learned by waiting. Some delays are due to a spiritual battle being fought. I don't pretend to understand the nature of the battle, but the Bible does tell us that Satan is doing his best to hinder our prayers. And if you don't believe that, maybe you need to remember the book of Daniel. I will tell you that there's a battle being fought right now. God clearly understands the importance of timing. Some things can't happen until other things are in place. Think about this for a minute. If we pray for someone who is not a Christian, it would be nice if God would just zap them and make them his follower. Wouldn't that be great? Right? Just zap them right quick. Right quick and make them his. However, to do that would negate man's freedom. Instead, the person needs to be exposed to the Word of God. They need to see the love of Christ in others. Sometimes they need to get questions answered. And all of this has to take place before they are ready to make any kind of commitment to the Lord. We need to remember that just because we don't see what God is doing, it doesn't mean that He's not doing anything, ladies and gentlemen. God is always at work. I want you to know that I struggle with that too. He's working in us. He is working for those that we pray for. You've got to believe that. Let's also not forget that sometimes we ask for things that we think are good, but actually, as the good brother just prayed, they are not good. Our perspective is limited, really very limited. In the times when God seems quiet, we must be persistent, asking Him to teach us what we need to learn and to change our prayer if we're asking for the wrong thing. We've got to pray for others all the time, and we can't forget to do that. There are many people who need our prayers. Let me tell you what, that preacher over there, Brent, he needs your prayers. He's working hard. He's trying to do all he can to learn as much as he can, so that he can present to you from the Word of God to the best of his ability. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen of Bartlett, you need to pray for your elders. You've got good men here shepherding this congregation, and they need your prayers. And the missionaries that you are supporting, and our mates and our children, and people who are sick and persecuted believers around this world, and civic leaders, and people who are going through difficult times, and people that are facing major challenges for which the elders have stood up and told you about right here from this pulpit, and people who have not come to their place in faith in Jesus Christ our Savior. We need to remember them. In fact, there are so many people who need prayer that I will tell you something, folks, sometimes I just become super overwhelmed. Don't you? Sometimes when we're overwhelmed, what is it that we do? We just give up. I just give up sometimes. And we walk away from prayer because the task just feels so overwhelming to us. And sometimes because the need is so great in the lives of others, we find ourselves reciting what sounds a lot like a Christian wish list. Prayer loses that sense of personal intimacy, and it almost becomes a chore that you have to push through. Do you feel that way sometimes? We stop talking with God, and we just get to where we start demanding of Him. Aren't you listening to me, Lord? I believe we should pray for many people. Put it in His hands. Okay, what should we pray? Well, Paul tells us. And pray for me, too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for Him as I should. Notice that Paul believed enough in prayer to ask people to pray for himself. When was the last time, ladies and gentlemen, that you asked someone to pray for you? Now, seriously, I want to ask that question. How many of you have asked someone else to pray for you? You say, well, Steve, I'm not sick or nothing. Really? We all want to appear self-sufficient. Let me tell you something about self-sufficiency. That is foolish. Took me a long time to learn that. God has designed us to need each other. That's the reason why this is a family, okay, of Christians that meet together at the Bartlett Church of Christ. This is what builds the body of Christ. He wants us to make our requests known not only to Him, but to each other. We're supposed to have that kind of a relationship. Notice not only what Paul asks, but also what he does not ask. He does not ask that he be spared trouble, or that he be spared problems, or that these chains that he's wearing will go away. He doesn't ask for that. He doesn't ask that he be released from prison. He doesn't ask that he be given stuff. Paul focuses on what truly matters. He asked the people to pray for what? That he be given the right words. That he might have boldness in declaring the good news of the gospel and endurance to keep being faithful in spite of the chains. I don't know about you, but I would love for people to pray that I might speak the right words at the right time. I got to tell you something. There are so many times in my life, ladies and gentlemen, where my tongue is so far in front of my brain it isn't even funny. I have said the most crazy things because I didn't stop to think. I would speak the wrong words at the wrong time. I would love for people to pray that God would help me speak truthfully and boldly and faithfully and with wisdom. Hopefully that's something that all of us want. Jesus told us to pray for workers who would declare the good news of his mercy and grace. Have you prayed for that? We need to pray that God would raise faithful teachers around the world. Let me tell you, that's a great prayer. There is nothing more urgent than communicating the truth of the gospel of Christ, ladies and gentlemen. There is nothing more important than that. Prayer is not a college course to master. It is a relationship to develop. I wish there was a simple formula that would help you and me leave here today and be true prayer warriors. But I don't think this happens with some magic formula any more than an athlete becomes great by taking a pill. There's a whole bunch of commercials with a whole bunch of pills that you're supposed to be able to take that'll make you strong and make you a great athlete. I don't think that's going to work. Or a musician becoming great by watching a video. I don't think that's going to work. Or even becoming a great driver because you took driver's education. I guarantee you that doesn't work. Okay? These are all things that you have to learn over time and practice. Well, the same is true with prayer. Listen to it. Prayer is not a college course to master. It is a relationship to develop. Beware, Satan will try to convince you that prayer is just not your gift. You're just not good at it. You don't know what to pray for. It's overwhelming. It's a real pain. Don't waste your time. Satan's goal is to keep you from praying. It is to keep you from talking to your God. So let's begin to fight the battle with Satan with God's help. Let's set aside time every day to simply be still and know that He is God. You got to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Young people, you have to do it. Don't you let those teachers at school or any of that pressure over at school keep you from praying. You pray at school. You close your eyes. Nobody can tell you what to think. You pray. And if you have an opportunity to pray with somebody else, you put your arms around them and you pray with somebody else. This is still a free country. Let's develop our listening skills so we can discern the voice of God's Spirit through His Word. You want to discern the Holy Spirit's Word? It's right here, once and for all delivered. We need to search the Scriptures daily. Let's lift each other up in prayer, asking that God will help us serve Him effectively. Most of all, let's develop a life of prayer because God is worth knowing intimately. You can have that relationship with Him. He is such a wonderful Savior that we should cherish every moment we have to talk with Him and every opportunity to serve Him. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that the sermon this evening has been beneficial to you from the book of Ephesians. I want you to understand something. We're not praying enough. We flippantly handle prayer, I think. It's just something we've always done. It's something that you do at the start of the service. It's something that you do at the end of the service. It's something that you do before we eat lunch, after services. It's something that you do before bed. We're not talking to God. I don't think we are. I don't think I am. I don't think I'm keeping a conversation going with him the way that I should. And I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to understand that when I preach sermons, I preach them for my benefit. I preach them because I want to get better. And I hope that by preaching them, they will help you get better. You want strength. You want the armor of a warrior. Go to God in prayer and ask him for it. Maybe there's someone here in the audience that needs to obey the gospel of Christ this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not obeyed the gospel, you're lost. The grace of God is available for all of us. It's free. If we believe with all of our heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, confess him as Lord and Savior, repent. That means turn away from the life that you're living and head towards the goals that the Lord has given us in the truth. Be baptized for the remission of sin. If you've studied this and understand that this is what you need to do, now's the time to take care of it. Don't delay. We don't know what will happen today or tomorrow. Our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Maybe there's someone in the audience that needs the prayers of the congregation here. You need to be prayed for strength. Maybe you have done things that brought reproach against this church. You need to get that taken care of. Brethren here will pray with you and for you. They'll love you. They'll put their arms around you. They'll care for you. And they'll help you in your journey to go to heaven. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, ladies and gentlemen, won't you come as we stand and sing?